With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
Hey, it's Doug Gottlieb. You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for fast, free shipping, free roadhouse protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Yokohama Avid Ascend LX. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive, simply go to TireRack.com/sports. TireRack.com, it's the way tire buying should be.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 5 Eastern, 12 to 2 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're doing great. Doug Gottlieb Show broadcast live. From the TireRack.com studios, TireRack.com. Let me get there. Unmatched selection, fast, free shipping, free roadhouse protection. Over 10,000 recommended installers. TireRack.com is the way tire buying should be. Welcome in. All the boys are here. My man Dan Beyer. Of course, Jason Stewart, who's the esteemed producer of the show. And Iowa Sam. Just a reminder, the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. There's an hour podcast only. We did kind of line out the crazy fringe politics creeping into sports, both left and right. If you want to hear any of that or any of this show on podcast form, just download it wherever you download podcasts or go to the iHeartRadio app. So a lot to delve into with last night's games. Stop me if you heard this before, but Zion Williamson is awesome when healthy, and then he's always hurt. And of course, he got hurt last night, dropping 40 points, which of course, open the window for the Lakers to come back and win and survive and move on. Whereas the Pelicans now have to play the Kings. And the Kings won what amounted to a no-doubter, right? A no-doubter against the Warriors last night. Game wasn't, they couldn't, When the Warriors can't win the third quarter, they don't win the game. That has been their MO. Whatever adjustments they make, whatever orange wedges they eat, they usually come out and dominate the third quarter. They didn't. And then early in the fourth quarter, couldn't make a shot, couldn't get a stop. A bucket here, an and one there. And it was never really, never within single digits, ever in the fourth quarter. And I agree with the sentiments of Charles Barkley. I agree with the idea that you want to, and the sentiments, frankly, of the players on the Warriors. You want to keep dudes together. But you can't do it at their current roles, and their current roles demand gigantic salaries, and those have to be adjusted this offseason, or this is it. This is the end. Here's Steve Kerr after the game.
We've been really blessed here with some amazing players and, you know, multiple championships and finals appearances and the highest of highs. And this is the flip side. This is life. This is how it works. You don't get to stay on top forever. So what happens this summer and going into next year, we'll worry about that later.
What happens this summer, we'll worry about that later. Okay, here's Charles Barkley on TNT after the game.
He's not going to get better. He's going to make less money, but he ain't going to get no better. Older people don't get, sports ain't for old people, they're for young people. That's no disrespect. Clay's a Hall of Famer. But he's lowered his number, but he ain't. You know, just because he lowered his number don't mean he's going to play better as he ages. It doesn't work.
He can play better in a different role.
What role?
He could play in a better in a second unit role.
But they're going to put in there for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I'm saying, yeah. To me, if okay, we say, what should they do? For me, you can't get young. You have to get younger vets.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, if we go through the downfall of the Warriors, right, we go through the downfall of the Warriors, there's actually similarities there to the Boston Celtics in the 80s, right? 80s and in the 90s. Remember, the Boston Celtics, they had two players who could have elongated their franchise's historical success in the 80s. First was Len Bias, who died a day after being drafted. The other one was Reggie Lewis, who died after playing and being an all-star for the Celtics. And then you had Larry Bird's bad back. And yeah, obviously the rise of Michael Jordan and the Bulls and all the other competitors in the East. But the reality is, had they had Len Bias, or if Reggie Lewis had lived, who knows what their franchise would be like? They haven't anybody die, but they had James Wiseman, who they drafted and couldn't figure out how to develop, and then they end up shipping him off. And then, of course, you had Jordan Poole, who was an all-star level talent, but because of all the other stuff that took place with the punch from Draymond Green, that killed last season, killed Jordan Poole. They had to get rid of him. And what they brought back in return did not, you know, it's given them cap relief in the future, but didn't give them a chance to really win. So, look, Steph Curry's making $52, $55, $59 million. That's not changing. He's got 2 years left. They're not shipping him anywhere. He's not going anywhere. Andrew Wiggins is under contract. Draymond Green's under contract. But in Draymond's deal, people see it as movable. The big question is, what do you do? You know, what do you do with Klay Thompson, who's making $43 million this year? Klay Thompson can still play. He'd have to be your fourth or fifth or maybe even sixth best offensive player. He can still guard people. He can still make shots. You can't depend upon him to give you 20 in a game like that, because you see the bad Klay Thompson happens more often than not. But the writing is all over the walls. No matter how much better they get on the perimeter, because last night all the Kings basically did was head of the snake, right? Every time Steph Curry came off a ball screen, they doubled him, made somebody else beat him. They tried to deny him the ball. They really tried to make somebody else beat him. And it worked, because they didn't have anybody else who could beat the Kings. That's the reality to it. No one else could take over a game. There wasn't enough shot creators. And he's just not big enough to go get a ball and, you know, LeBron James put his head down and you know, go through players like that. He's just not. And I told you this before. I believe that Kevin Durant actually saved the dynasty. Saved it. Because the league caught up to them, what they were doing, which was unique and was special. Everybody else started kind of copying it. And then Kevin Durant covered up the fact that once they lost Andrew Bogut, because when they were up 3-1 to the Cavs, everybody smartly points out that Draymond Green got suspended, and that cost them basically 2 games. But they also lost Andrew Bogut for the rest of the series. I don't think Bogut ever played. He came back for a little bit a couple years later, but ever played for the Warriors ever again. They've never had a quality. They had Zaza Pachulia right after that. They've never had a quality big guy like that who could handle, pass, set screens, shoot a little bit. So they've never filled that void at center. Obviously, Klay's injuries, as well as age, has worn him down. Draymond has never figured out how to consistently make shots on offense. Plus, all of the other nonsense, which used to be kind of clever and it kind of wore on people and it's become constant suspension worthy. And what we have to be real about, what you have to be honest about is it's not like the Warriors lost in the Western Conference Finals 2 years in a row and they're this close and, hey, let's just pay Clay a little bit less, bring in another guy and reload and let's do it again next year. They finished in 10th place and lost by double digits to the Kings, who didn't have one of their best players in a Malik Monk. The Kings were supposedly vulnerable because they haven't been the same without after losing Horder and Monk. And they didn't look vulnerable at all last night. So, yeah, it's over. And it probably was over last year when they got swept by the Lakers. It probably was over last year. But we could make it out, well, Jordan Poole thing, the Draymond Green thing, it was just toxicity and their chemistry, and that sounds great. When you finish in 10th place and you don't actually, you didn't even make the second play-in game and you're playing against a depleted team and you can't get it to single digits in the fourth quarter, you're not close. You're not close. So do I think you bail on Steph Curry? No, I think you try and ride out the Steph Curry thing. Do you try the best you can to reform yourself and be competitive? Sure. But if you think they're close, if you think this run isn't over, I don't know what you're paying attention to. You know? And this is a feelings above facts sort of thing. Draymond Green's been an awesome player. And I don't think he's easy to replace. He may be irreplaceable. But is he really bringing you value right now if you're the Warriors? There's a 50-50 shot with every time he takes the floor, whether or not he's going to get ejected, and if he gets ejected, going to get suspended. Is that about right? Is that about fair? If you watch a Warriors game? Okay, so he's supposedly a superstar who can't score, doesn't give you nearly the advantage that he used to. I still think he's a hell of a player. I'm not telling you he stinks, but people have sort of figured him out some. Okay? Still a brilliant defensive player, a tremendous passer, but we're in a sport that values the ability to shoot the basketball, and he can't shoot. And every game he takes the floor, there's like a 50-50 shot he's going to get ejected. If he gets ejected, he gets suspended, right? Then you got Klay Thompson, who I love. Awesome player. Dude, he played for my dad in AAU. Hey, my dad was the reason that he went to Washington State. All facts. Right? But at some point, you got to go like, dude, we can't keep you at 30, 40. And while a diminished role sounds like a good idea, a diminished role in the same locker room doesn't always work for guys. Right? You mean to tell me you go to the same locker room and all the stuff that used to be clever, you know, riding a bike to work and taking a boat to work and all of Clay's different idiosyncrasies. When you're a bench player or if you're the fifth starter, everything's different. It's really hard to sit there and you're still wearing a Warriors jersey and Steph's still doing Steph stuff. And wait, I'm going to sit now? And I do agree. There is a world where you move him, you bring in another dynamic scorer, you bring in a big guy, and he's better off. He can still be a starting player. He's still a good player. I was texting with NBA guys like, dude, he's not washed. He can still play. But this is what happens. The older you are, the more times you have games where you can't make a shot and your body doesn't cooperate nearly as much. I get it. But that's really hard to do. No one talked about this last night. It's hard to do in the same locker room. I want you to think about that in your job. Imagine in my job, if you start working backwards, it's hard to be in the same place and have a diminished role. Right? Vance Joseph with the Denver Broncos is a great example. He was the head coach of the Broncos. He goes away. He comes back as their defensive coordinator. That's just weird. Now imagine if you're a player. So is there a part of me that says, hey, get all of the juice out of that orange you can? The Warriors could still make a little bit of a run. But the reality is you cut away the feelings, you cut away the infatuation with how they played, with how much fun they are to watch, how much they've changed basketball, how easy Steve Kerr is to watch coach, right? A dude who had never blown a whistle a day in his life becomes the most successful coach in the last decade in the NBA. A sport-changing player like Steph Curry, frankly, a sport-changing player like Draymond Green, right? Draymond Game became a 6'6" center who he could win a championship with. Right, an unbelievable shooting weapon, and you just sit there and go like, hey, I get it all. I get that the Jordan Poole thing ruined you last year, that the Wiseman thing has hurt you, that the young guys have struggled to come of age. I like the young guys too. I like a lot of things there. But the dynasty, that's over. You were the 10th seed, okay, and you lost to the Kings, who didn't have two of their rotation guys, one starter, one rotation guy. And the game was never close in the second half. And you've dominated third quarters for the entire lifespan of Steve Kerr being there, and you got outscored 37-26 in the third quarter. What are we doing here? Right. This is somebody should have a DNR on the Warriors. Right. Like, it sucks to have a DNR. But sometimes you're in a better place. Right. Let Clay go to the Lakers. Play for the team his dad broadcasts from. Trade Draymond Green away. But whatever you do, don't act like this dynasty is still going. It's over. It was over previously, but when you're the 10th seed, you lose to a 9th seed, the game's not competitive in the second half, and they're injury riddled? What are we doing? What are you chasing? Your thoughts are always welcome at Gottlieb Show. At Gottlieb Show. Twitter, Instagram as well.
This is the best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Juan Gabriel.
Juanquis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Carol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Ex-Tina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royalty.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business,
and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
What up with your Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from the TireRack.com studios, TireRack.com. Where we get there, unmatched selection, fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, over 10,000 recommended installers, TireRack.com. It's the way the tire buying should be. Welcome in. Hey, it's a Wednesday. That there is the middle of the week. Hey, middle of the week. We're at one on the west, four on the east. That's the middle of the show. And generally, it's the middle of most people's days. So let's get to the midway. Stuck in the middle with you. Stuck in the middle with you.
Stuck in the middle with you.
It's time for
Stuck in the Middle.
The Midway.
All righty. Let's start with Dan Beyer. Do you have a suggestion? Oh, Dan's working? Dan's got to work. Come on, man. Who's got to work? He is the one-armed paper hanger right now. All right, Jay Stu, do you have a suggestion for a game?
I threw three suggestions to the group today. I said there's still a lot of meat on the Caitlin Clark bone, especially with the women compensation topic that kind of came up yesterday. Why isn't Trevor Bauer pitching in the major leagues? You know, one of his two accusers has been brought up on felony charges. And then the third one, what are other signature moments or signature times that you could remember that ended dynasties? Like you saw something and you said, that's it. That means we're at the end.
Okay. I do have one, like, I'm kind of freaking out over the Jackson Holiday thing, by the way. He struck out again a couple of times today. Like, whew, we're like on 2 weeks with one hit.
Yeah, that's tough. I guarantee he's never gone through a streak like this in his entire baseball life. So the mental aspect of being in a slump, compounded by the fact that you're facing major league pitching, it's ruined a lot of people before they even start.
Right. I mean, they're literally hitting him ninth. And, you know, it's not like anybody's going to take it easy on him. He's the number one overall pick and the number one prospect in minor league baseball. And, ooh, it's been rough.
I'm rooting for him, but this is why the general managers get paid big money. They need to realize what is the mental drain of this. And maybe we need to send him down to work on things.
The question is, though, if you send a guy down, right, what does that do to him, right?
Exactly.
What does that do to him? Instead of just, hey, we're going to stick by him, we're going to figure it out. But if you're not, if you haven't been following Jackson Holiday, who is we have adopted on this show, he has had, let's see here, I just want to make sure I get my stats correct. He's had 25 at bats, 22 official at bats, right? Because he's walked once and had a sack once. I don't know why there's another one that's not an official at bat. He has one hit in 22 at bats. Now, he's only played a week, seven games.
Including today, 1-for-25. He's batting 0-40.
Yeah, 0-4-0. 25 at-bats, one hit. 1-for-25. Seven games. You freaking out yet? Dan Beyer, are you freaking out yet? Should we freak out?
No. It happens. It's a lot at stake. Just let him ease into it. Orioles just swept the Twins. Yeah, no need to make any drastic measures.
Okay. Let's do you guys mind if we do the dynasty thing? The moment you saw a dynasty end? You want to do that?
Yeah, something that denoted the end of a big run for a team.
Okay, so what denoted the end of the Warriors? What do we think it was? Was it Clay's injuries? But they came back and won one after that. Was it Draymond punching Jordan Poole?
Yeah. I'll go there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so give me another one. Give me one that you're thinking. You say, hey, this was marked the end of the... I mean, obviously, Jordan retiring.
I got one. May I?
Yeah.
May I have this dance?
Yeah, go.
January 4th, 2020. It was the Titans over the Patriots, 2013, in the wild card game, wild card playoffs, and it was a shock. And that was the last time I think Tom Brady would then ship off to Tampa Bay the next year.
It was the Titans when they lost the Titans?
They lost the Titans.
Yeah, I remember the game.
Yep. And
but they weren't going to win a Super Bowl that year anyway, were they?
But they were still 12-4.
Yeah, that's a good
and
point.
Upset in the wild card game. That I think that game was the Jenga piece pulled out, and that was the end of the Patriots dynasty.
Well, there's an important part of that game that goes unspoken. Right. As much as we go look back, go, he didn't have the weapons. They weren't that good. If you remember, Mike Vrabel was the coach of the Titans. He did a great job of bleeding the clock. And, you know, the last pass Brady threw was the interception where they didn't really have a chance. But he won on field position. He kept Brady off the field as long as possible. Like it was if you think he thought Brady was washed, you didn't watch that game because he did everything he could to keep Brady off the field. It's a good one. Buyer, give me a. Give me a memory of a dynasty ending.
Yes. I feel like I bring up this Bills dynasty. I don't, again, because it's right in the wheelhouse of when I really, really, really loved sports. Mm-hmm. But if we look at their Super Bowl wins or losses, we know about the Giants close call. And then we know about the... being blown out by the Cowboys. I don't think the Washington loss gets a lot of pub, but they really weren't in that game. The final Super Bowl that they played, and I found this so revealing in one of the documentaries on the Bills of the past, was they were actually leading the Cowboys at the half of that Super Bowl, Super Bowl 28 in Atlanta. And then they didn't score in the second half and lost 30-13, and Emmitt Smith ran over them, and James Washington was having a great game. And it was just, it was done at that point. And what I thought was so interesting in the documentaries that we heard was the Bills knew it was over at halftime and they had a lead. I think it was Jim Kelly who even said they went in and they knew it was over. Like, this is it. Like, not like this is our opportunity to do it. They had nothing left. And it Cowboys outscored them 24-0 in the second half. They didn't make the playoffs the next year. And then from that point on, you know, Music City Miracle and then their drought. But I just always look at that of like, because I had hoped that they would finally win one. We just talked about three-peats and repeats earlier. I wanted them to win. I go back to that Buffalo one and that final loss to the Dallas Cowboys.
The Midway.
Sam?
That's a good one.
It's a good one. Sam?
I mean, I had the Patriots one earlier.
I'm sorry. Jay Stu, my bad.
I'm looking at June 15th, 2004. You guys know what that means?
That was probably when the Yankees dynasty ended?
Nope.
Nope. Lakers.
Lakers?
Nope. Rip Hamilton hit many of his like mid-range jumpers to defeat the Lakers in five games. Lakers were the overwhelming favorite going into that finals. And they had won, what, three out of the last 4 years. We could have an argument about if that was a dynasty, which dynasty was it, but that was Shaquille O'Neal's final game as a Laker. So the team was blown up. Remember, they had brought in Karl Malone and Gary Payton to go with their already championship roster. And the Pistons beat them as severe underdogs in that series, ending the Lakers as it was. Sadly enough, Kobe and Shaq couldn't make it work moving forward, and the rest is history. Kobe, it took a few years until Kobe could win a cup on his own, but that was the end of that part of that dynasty. Does that make sense?
Yes.
I have one. When the Red Sox traded Mookie Betts. Right? I mean, like, let's look at Mookie Betts, who, he's traded. Was he traded in 19 or in 20? He was traded in 20. But previous to that, you know, they had made the playoffs three consecutive years. They had won the World Series in 2018, and they've literally never recovered since they traded Mookie Betts. And I understand, like, remember they packaged him with Crawford, right? Remember, didn't they sign Crawford and he stunk and he couldn't play in Boston? They packaged a bunch of, basically pork. They put guys that they didn't want in with Mookie Betts in the trade. But trading away Mookie Betts was the end of the Red Sox. Yes, go ahead.
Quick one here. I would say this is the end of the Florida Gators mini dynasty of national championships. Mm-hmm. I believe Alabama with Nick Saban came in at like 11-1, and the Florida Gators were undefeated. It was the SEC title game. I think it was 2010 or 2009. But that game, you were like, Florida, I think, was a big favorite. It was a favorite. And Nick Saban came in there and whooped them.
2009.
Yeah. Okay. And I think the final score was like 31-13 or something. That was a passing of the torch. I know that Nick Saban had success with LSU, but it was really Florida after that, then Saban, and he had his amazing run, and now, you know, then LSU a little bit more. Now we're with Georgia. But that really was the end, I think, was that SEC title game where Alabama just laid a whooping on a perfect Tim Tebow-led Florida Gators team.
I have one.
I'm going to put myself after Doug as well.
Okay, that's fine. Another. Sorry. Yeah. 2014. Now, they weren't a dynasty because they hadn't won, okay, but they had gone to the conference, the NFC Championship, lost in the Super Bowl, then the NFC Championship. The Niners with Colin Kaepernick took on the Seahawks. Byer, I think you probably remember this one. And the Niners at the time were like 7-4, right? And they're taking on the Seahawks, and this was kind of the beginning of the Legion of Boom, if you will, where they just could not move the ball. And that was the first time people started to talk about whether or not the Seahawks had won the Super Bowl the year before. Right, won the Super Bowl the year before. But the end of the Niners was when Kaepernick was completely ineffective against the Seahawks, I think, in 2014. That year, that 8-8 year, was an abject disaster. And Harbaugh obviously had the fighting with his general manager, with Trent Baalke. Kaepernick thought that Greg Roman's offense was limited. But people around the league had kind of figured out Kaepernick. I thought that was the seminal moment.
I find it interesting when Sam brought up the college football one, because dynasties usually come to an end just because guys move on, because you're only there for, you know, 3 or 4 years, and there's not like a buildup of over a decade of it. But my greatest memory probably of on a winning team of being a fan was when Ohio State beat Miami in the 03 Fiesta Bowl, which ended the Hurricanes' 34-game win streak. And everything that came with that game, whether it be the pass interference in the end zone, the Willis McGahee injury is Oof, brought up.
That was rough, yeah.
But when you look back at, and honestly, it's funny because the USC-Texas Rose Bowl, for how good that was,
yeah,
I think ended up overshadowing what this game was, because for that 2 or 3 years, this was even thought of as
the greatest game ever.
Yeah, this is a double overtime game.
With the most
game.
Remarkable talent, too, on both rosters.
Yeah, you had Maurice Claret running down Sean Taylor and stripping him after Taylor had an interception. Mm-hmm. People forget Miami had to kick a field goal at the end of regulation to even force the first overtime. Mm-hmm. Miami had a first and goal at the 1 yard line, and Ohio State stopped them mm-hmm. on 4 straight plays to win the national championship. Like, there was so much with it, but in the end, it was the weight of that 34 game win streak that Miami had. And on that night, Ken Dorsey ended up hurting his shoulder on that final series, and it was over with at that point.
Oh, Texas, when Colt McCoy got hurt in the national championship game.
That was after the SEC championship that Alabama won.
Right?
So,
do you remember the game at all? Byer remembers.
I was there. They mounted quite a comeback without Colt McCoy, and they got close.
Right, but do you remember, it was Garrett Gilbert, wasn't it?
Yes.
Okay, so Colt McCoy got hurt, and what happened was, it was kind of an innocuous injury. It was like, what happened? And he just couldn't throw a football. He had like dead arm. So they bring Garrett Gilbert in, who's like the number one rated prospect. He's the heir apparent. And he was decent in that game. He was fine. But they end up at the end kind of getting it handed to them because they just didn't have enough offense. And literally, Mac Brown never recovered. They were never the same. I mean, it's crazy. They went from dominating the Big 12, dominating, to really struggling. Eventually, he lost his job. They could never figure out the quarterback position after that. And it's just fascinating to see what happened. I mean, think about this. Texas under Mac Brown. Under Mac Brown. They had won. Where is it? It's right here. They had won 11, 11, 10, 11, 13, 10, 10, 12, 13. Then they won five games. Then eight, then nine, then eight. Then he was fired. Like, it's literally the moment. That moment, he got hurt. Colt McCoy can't pick up a football.
They had it rolling with Colt McCoy. I mean, we forget how good they were.
But go back. They had Vince. They had Chris Vince Sims. Young. They had Chris Sims. They also had
Major Applewhite.
Major Applewhite. Okay? They had Major Applewhite to Chris Sims to Vince Young to Colt McCoy.
And then a lot of drop-off.
I mean, a cliff.
Yeah.
Sam Ellinger said that they're back, remember?
Yes. I mean, until this year, they hadn't recovered. And it was all that one moment.
Yeah.
Nuts.
I got one.
Midway.
You guys done talking sports? Because do you guys remember when the Carringtons?
Dynasty.
Yeah, when Crystal interrupted the wedding and it was disrupted by terrorists spraying bullets at the wedding. I think that was the end of Dynasty.
Oh, spoiler alert.
That signified the end of Dynasty.
And that's the Midway.
That's the Midway.
The Midway.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
Juan Gabriel.
Juan Gis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Carol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Ex-Tina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royalty.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
So did Mike Greenberg say that the Lakers should lose last night. Am I getting this correct? I believe that's what he said. And then they asked Darvin Ham about it. And Darvin Ham said something along the lines of he should be in an insane asylum. Is that right, Dan Beyer? Was that the kind of the quote?
I have no clue. Yeah. I have no idea.
So here's the problem, though. Like, we keep crushing Greeny's terrible takes. And, like, Greeny has never really offered up much in terms of controversial takes. He backs down from them really quickly because he just doesn't like controversy. Super talented guy, but he likes other people to say controversial stuff. So there was a time a couple weeks ago where he said he like joked about UConn being able to win in the to make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
And then he quickly like, I never said that. Like, well, you were joking, but you did clearly say it.
It was also right after they played Northwestern,
right.
his alma mater. The only game that he played.
Yeah, and but the point was like he hadn't had any takes in forever. If that was a take, boy, that was a hot one, and it was a terrible one, just like the Lakers should lose. But we talked about it. Like, the Lakers, in terms of the likelihood of success in the first round of the playoffs, they definitely should have lost last night. But you can't run that risk. I don't care how much you can feel like you can dominate the Warriors or the Kings, you can't run that risk. They had to win. But they're not beating the Nuggets. It's not happening. Bad matchup for him. Bad matchup. Tired of feeling alone in your job search? With just one connection, you can find endless job opportunities. That connection is Express Employment Professionals. Don't go at it alone. Visit expresspros.com to find the location nearest you. That's expresspros.com. With the first round of the draft starting next Thursday, Our thanks and our sponsor to our sponsor, Express Pros, for being our presenting sponsor for Fox Sports Radio's draft coverage. What is the draft coverage, you ask? What is the draft coverage, Doug? I'll tell you. Draft night live on Fox Sports Radio is next Thursday, 8 Eastern. Check out the list of who we got on the radio. Jay Glazer, who like knows everything. Steve Keim, who's been in these draft rooms and taken number one overall picks. LeVar Arrington, who's been a top pick. Rob Stone, of course, Big Noon Kickoff's Rob Stone. So that's next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, all throughout the first round, Fox Sports Radio, presented by Express Pros. Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. David Thorpe is our guest. Of course, you can listen and read his work over at True Hoop. Of course, longtime coach, college, pro, workout coach, you name it. He's done it all and connected with everybody in the NBA. David, thanks so much for joining us. The Warriors, is there... I love the idea of, again, in theory, hey, you move Clay to your fifth best starter. You know, you bring in, you package up some guys, you get a big, you get another guy who can create shots for you, and you try and run this thing back. But, like, they're a 10 seed who lost to the Kings, and the Kings didn't have, you know, Monk and Huerter. Like, it's over, right? I mean, isn't the Warriors thing over?
I mean... Doug, I wrote an article, maybe 8 weeks ago, basically saying I trade everybody, and I understand why you don't trade Steph Curry. He's a jewel that produces a lot of money, but it's really unfair to the rest of the basketball world that you keep Steph when he's still good enough to help a team. He could be the best player on a championship team, but this team isn't it. I don't see it them being it going forward. It's up to Steph. Steph's got to say, guys, it's time. You know, Dame didn't want to be traded until ultimately he did. But I have no idea how Steph feels. But, yeah, I don't see it. It'd be very surprising for them to pull a deal off to make themselves contenders with what they have.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so, David, the Lakers win last night, which is great, so they don't have to play another game. Doesn't wear down their legs. But the bad news is they get the Nuggets. That's a tough matchup for them. Nuggets don't have the bench they had last year. That part is different. But the starters seem problematic. What do the Lakers have to do to make this thing a series?
Well, first of all, I give them credit for trying to win late in the season the way they did, when they could have tried to somehow avoid the opportunity to be a seventh seed, just to play the one team that they really don't have much of an answer for. We saw some teams not try to win games, and I know you feel the same way. At some point, as an old school basketball guy, you got to try to win the games in front of you. And I mean, LeBron taking two charges, one against Zion. He told you how he was locked in. But they've been playing great down the stretch. I really appreciate that. The problem is what they need is unlikely to happen. So the Lakers don't like to shoot threes, even though, ironically, they shoot them really well, 39.5% since March 1st, which is where I kind of start my analysis of all the teams. I don't really care what they did in October, November. They are reticent to do it because they murder teams in the paint. And Denver does a great job of taking away threes, allowing you to score in the paint. And so I don't think they can score enough in the paint to beat Denver. They're just getting twos, right? So assuming Jokic doesn't get kicked by his horse and Murray is healthy and all of that, you know, just matched up man for man, they're just not nearly as good. But if Denver decides we're just getting, you know, killed too badly in the paint, which is possible with the way AD and LeBron can score down there, and they start sending more resources to help clog that middle up, especially at the area around the rim, then LA's just got to let it go. And instead of taking, you know, 33 threes a game, then, you know, got to be 40, 41, 42, like where Boston is at 42 or so, and continue to shoot well, which is also not necessarily going to happen. Just because you're shooting more doesn't mean you'll continue to shoot well, though they certainly could. And then the other thing is they've got to find a way to solve Jokic. No one ever has, really, in the last 4 years. You know how it is, Doug, in the playoffs, where you may just choose not to guard certain guys. But Denver has some guys that don't shoot well, especially in the corners, but they cut. And with Jokic being able to find everybody, the fact that you know, Aaron Gordon can't really shoot, Christian Brown's not a good shooter, 30% from three these last few months, but they don't just stand there. So when you ignore them to bring your resources elsewhere, they cleverly find the open spots and knowing that Jokic will find them. So it's just unlikely to happen. Seven straight going back to the finals and the Western Conference Finals then this season. It's just a bad matchup for them. But the King is incredible. I've never been, you know, a fan. I've been analyzing him since he got in the league, and I'm just blown away with what he can still do. His speed is amazing, Duck. He doesn't jump like he can. He needs a real runway, so he doesn't finish at the rim like he used to. He gets there. He just doesn't elevate much. Maybe he's got something left in him that we haven't seen in a bit. But absent more threes and successful shooting, only coming from dominating the paint, they don't really have much of a chance to win, maybe by a game or two.
What about the Kings? They're going to match up with the Pelicans, right? And you kind of had the full Zion Williamson on display. Just too quick and too quick for big guys to guard, too strong for guards to guard. He dominates, but then he tweaks a hamstring after having 40, and they don't recover. Like, therein lies the conundrum with Zion. It's not the talent. It's can you trust that he'll actually be healthy to be out there playing?
Yeah, you know, we've seen young athletes struggle with their health. Steph Curry famously did so with his ankle, to a point where I was talking to GMs who were on the phone with the Warriors about potentially a trade. Now, they were mostly trying to trade back then Monte Ellis, but Steph Curry was in some of those discussions because he was just always injured. A change in how we developed. I know my friend Dr. Holmes wrote an article at ESPN when I was there many years ago talking about it, writing about it. Zion clearly has made a commitment to fitness that we hadn't seen before. He looks fantastic. He really looks the part. He was not finishing great this year compared to the Zion of the past.
Correct.
Even with his new body, but that started. He's always been, as you know, an elite scorer, just a guy that could get a bucket. Separate from all of his athletic talents, he had a great feel for it. It had gone away a little bit, and I think it's coming back. So the hope for New Orleans longer term is that it's a small injury. I'm glad they didn't let him try to play it out. Maybe if he get it much more severe, I'd be out for a lot of the summer. Keep doing what you're doing. But we saw a glimpse of a guy that is MVP-level talent, and the hope is that whatever is going on with him physically, they're making progress with it. He was better this year. The hope is he can get back to being the player we all thought he could be, you know, next season and many years going forward.
David Thorpe, our guest here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Can anybody beat the Celtics in the East?
For sure one team can. I believe the Sixers are 30-7. With Maxi and Embiid both playing, which basically puts them in the same position Boston was this year, the maybe 64, 65 win team. They've got, you know, they got to win tonight just to get a chance to play the Knicks. But yeah, I think Philly can. I don't know that anyone else in the East can. Indiana's had some good games against them and also lost by 50. That was before they had Siakam. The pace is scary. It's not easy to play against what I call blur ball. But Boston is a heavy favorite for a reason. I was talking to an Eastern Conference player last night, and he just, when he says that, when I want, he told me he's in the playoffs. His team might be playing Boston at some point. And he said, it's just amazing to watch. It's not just their defense, their offense, too. And so, yeah, they deserve to be the big favorites, and I picked them as such a couple weeks ago.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What do you think we see from Embiid tonight?
Oh, he looks amazing. I don't think that you're going to see the best he can be from just a rhythm and feel standpoint. This is a hard game. It takes a while, typically. But you got to give him and the Sixers a lot of credit for how he looks. Like Zion, I've never seen Embiid look better. There was a time where I looked at him from a TV a little farther away, and I thought at first it was Mo Bamba. And it was Joel. Once he made a move, I'm like, oh, that can't be Bamba. It was Joel. He looks incredible. He's as much a cheat code as Jokic has ever been, in a different way, but still really unsolvable. And I think it's going to be tough for Miami, who's missing Josh Richardson and Rozier and Duncan Robinson. It's not really a fair fight. If it weren't for Spoelstra being there and Jimmy Butler, no one would think Miami can come within 20. But those guys are there, and Miami is going to bring a fight and a good plan. I'm sure I know what they can do against Joel, but I just don't think it'll work. And I think the Sixers will likely, obviously, I would think they'll likely prevail.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, in the West, if we both think the Lakers can't beat the Nuggets, who is the team to most likely give them difficulty?
Oh boy. They're fortunate. You know, OKC is just so young, but the way they play is interesting. We'll see how they handle the fact that most of those guys, you know, haven't really seen a playoff before. I think Minnesota's got some defensive chops, but probably don't have enough. Phoenix has really been playing better down the stretch, as has Dallas. Both teams have the stars required. I think in Phoenix's case, they have a coach that I just rank Vogel higher than I do Jason Kidd. Luke obviously would be the best of either side, but Phoenix is the way Beal played in April, just murdering it, doing everything for them. Nurkic has kind of found a little defensive urgency to him, which is good. I don't think anyone likely beats Denver in the West, assuming they're healthy, but I think both Dallas and Phoenix would be the most likely teams to do it. The Clippers are just a wild card right now. The way they competed down the stretch defensively, I don't think they beat Dallas unless they turn it around, which is possible. But I studied a lot of tape on them. The metrics are what they are. They've not been a serious defensive team for a while. I don't know yet even how healthy Kawhi is. Hopefully he's full strength. And if he is, and if they – remember, they were the best team in the league for a little bit. But that's a while ago. We've not seen that commitment to defense since. And I don't think they get out of the first round unless they really upgrade their defensive effort. And then I still think that series goes seven because Dallas was one of the better teams, one of the top four defensive teams, and a solid offensive team with Luka and Kyrie.
David, you're the best, man. Really appreciate you joining us. Thanks to everybody over at True Hoop. You guys do a great job. Thanks for being our guest on Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks, my guy. Be good.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.